So let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, that's a good way to enter into prayer, because what we're doing is glorifying you, because there is a spirit of encouragement in the body of Christ, and that comes from the Holy Spirit that can only be orchestrated a little bit by human effort. But mostly, Father, it is your spirit. So we are glorifying you. We're amazed that you operate that way on such a personal basis. And you encourage us to know that we are not only loved by our fellow classmates, whether they know us well or not, but they share, Lord, the people in this room, the pain that has been experienced, and the willingness of people to share what comfort they've received in very difficult times is so encouraging, Lord. And that's a freedom, I think, that we have under grace that you bring. So, Lord, this whole thing is just to say thank you, God, for that gift to us. Make it continue to work. And, Lord, and then there's all the requests we have right now, and that some are unshared, unspoken, and they run the gamut. Everything that people, everything that someone can face gets faced in this class. But we know you're there. We thank you for that. Father, we just pray that you'd be with Rob and Lisa, just them and their life as they serve the church in so many ways. We thank you for them, and we just thank you for the way they are friends, and that they encourage and have that gift of encouragement and friendship even to us. We thank you for that. We pray that you would continue to guide Rob as he does the work he does around the church and throughout the country. And I just pray that you would share through him today. I pray that in Christ's name. Amen.
John.
Yes. What? Oh, yes. Please. Please.
I'm Layla Brazil, and I am making an announcement on behalf of Janice Henry. Some of y'all probably recognize Paul Blonde here. She's been traveling and keeping gracious, and that's why I'm doing it instead of her. You may have seen an email Janice had on her part to offer her home for a fellowship opportunity for the ladies in Sunday school class. Now, the men have their dinner once a month, and Janice is like, the women need something. But she's going to kick it off August 4th. It's Tuesday, 9:30 at her house. And it's coffee and light snacks. You just come. And the whole part of it is to maybe meet somebody on the other side of the class that you didn't know their face, you don't know their name, or I forget people's names even when I know them. But it's just a chance to chat a little longer, just build a connection, have fellowship and community. So it will probably keep being announced. But Janice would love for y'all to come at 9:30. And her address is in the.
Did y'all hear the time? It's August 4th, is that what you... Okay. All right, thank you. And you have...
Teresa Caldwell does not want to be announced.
Okay, well, let's nobody talk about or look at Teresa Caldwell.
Even though she was a faithful member for many years.
Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who you're talking about, Teresa. I'm glad you're here. All right. So we're having the series, hearing from pastors, not only just logistically what they do in our church, but the heart behind what they do and what it means to us. So Rob Looper, let me finally turn it over to you. Where are you here? Is Rob here? He's in. Great. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I think we can get another row up here. I'll just zoom it in. Well, it is always great to be in this class, and y'all are eclectic in a good way, unpredictable, loud. I was teaching in Inside Out. You're loud. That means you're lively, so that's good. Of course, I know so many of you, and I haven't had a chance to meet everybody or get to know everyone deeply, but this has got all that comes together. It coalesces to a great vibe, and that's special. That means that there's a lot of, I think, health to this class, and health is important to me when it comes to church, when it comes to ministry. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But when I talked to John about what the purpose of this class was, I thought, well, you know, I could talk about all kinds of things. And I promised not to talk about Clemson much. But I am the National Ministries and Church Revitalization Pastor. My wife, Lisa, is over here. And many of you know her as well. And I want to say just up front that I would be in a ditch somewhere if it were not for Lisa. And that is absolutely true. I have been riding her coattails most of my life now. And I'm very grateful for that. She refines me. I'll stop right there. And I'm grateful. I couldn't do the ministry. What's that?
Less refined.
Yes, definitely. That's right. I was raw. But it was still sugar. It was still sweet. I've been in ministry for 35 years now, and we've been married for 34 of those years, and 24 of those years as a senior pastor. First 8 years were involved in a church plant in St. Louis that grew into a fine, solid, healthy church, Twin Oaks Presbyterian Church. It's there that I met John and Jenny Haynes and got to know them. So when I ended up back here in Birmingham at Briarwood, it felt a whole lot like I'd come home. You know, John Haynes is more John than he ever was before. And but that just warms my heart. And my role is the National Ministries and Church Revitalization Pastor. That's a mouthful, and it doesn't really fit on this, so they just said National Ministries, National Missions Pastor. You know, they often interchange ministries and missions. You'll hear that a lot. So I thought, well, really, it's probably important for me to talk a little bit about the function of my ministry and the teams that are involved with that ministry and its scope, and then talk a little bit about the heart of that and what's in it. Well, National Ministries will begin there. The purpose of Briarwood National Ministries is to support and further the mission statement of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. Well, what is that statement? How many of you know the mission statement? Can I put us to the test? How about if we get some help? Let's do it all together, just for the fun of the next class, and let's do it loud. For God's glory, Briarwood is committed to equipping Christians to worship God, to reach Birmingham, to reach the world for Christ. Now, that's a great statement. And I believe, as we get to talking about church revitalization, every church in every place has the same mission. And it is to make disciples. It is to carry out the Great Commission according to the Lord's command. But the visions may be different in terms of their demographics, their context, the providence of God and of the Lord in terms of where they are and the people they have contact with. But in national ministries, what we are trying to do is reach the nation, essentially. I'm not going to read all of this, but I do want to focus on that one part there in the middle, that we follow the model of Acts 1:8. Jesus said to the disciples prior to his ascension, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth." I'm preaching to the choir, I know. But that trajectory is important. I think what happens, and I understand completely, we think about the gospel to the ends of the earth, sometimes that gets romanticized. And the ends of the earth seems to be the end of ministry, the ultimate goal of ministry, because then Jesus will return. He said the gospel will be preached as a witness, as a testimony throughout the whole earth, and then the end will come. But the United States is a mission field. Christians in Africa and Korea, they send missionaries here. We are the ends of the earth for somebody. And that's important to know. You know what a food desert is? Mm-hmm. Now, that's a politically charged term, but there's some real truth to the idea of a food desert. A food desert is a geographical region that in which mostly lower income people don't have access to nutritional food, but there's a wealth of bad food, usually fast food or just bad things. And it's called a food desert because they don't have access to that which is all around them, even if it's not close to them. Well, the United States is a gospel desert. You know, people will say, well, you know what? I don't want to preach the gospel where it hasn't been preached. Well, let me tell you, the gospel hasn't been preached in Birmingham. There are places where people do not know the gospel. It's a fallacy. And for the United States to think, well, we're a saturated country, so we don't need the gospel. We should only go where the gospel hasn't been. If we don't go to our backyard, why do we think we'll do well going to around the world? You know, if we're not willing to cross the street, we're not willing to focus on our own nation. The trajectory is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then the utter ends of the earth. It's very romantic and very exciting to think about going to the ends of the earth. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying we shouldn't support the ends of the earth. But we are right here by God's providence right now in this city, in this state, in this nation. And this nation has, I don't think, has ever been in greater gospel need than now. So that is a shameless pitch to join the National Ministries team. Actually, it is an urgent plea for us to recognize the need that's before us. We have national ministry partners. Currently, we have about 120 that we support. The National Missions team meets once a month on Monday nights at 5:30 p.m. We meet tomorrow night. Any of you would like to crash that meeting, please come. No obligations. Just come and see what happens and hear about the ministries that we are going to be interviewing and in the coming months in particular and some of the endeavors that we're looking at. We'd love to have you in there. This is the current team. We're led by Tim Scott, who is a very capable leader and a good friend, and I just appreciate his heart and his commitment to the team. We'd love to expand. This is the actual National Ministries team. We have several subgroups we'll look at in a moment. But some of these folks have served for a very long time. Ed Henderson has been on that team since, I think, the Civil War. But he keeps coming, and he is so committed. And all of the team members have a handful of missionaries that they keep up with, and Ed is so faithful, even still, after all this time. We're so grateful for that. We have a couple of subgroups. We have a church planting subgroup. Brett Owens leads that team, and these members work hard to consider what our strategy is. We've been working hard on strategy the last couple of months and looking forward to some opportunities for Briarwood to contribute more to the church planter pipeline itself. Finding church planters to support that are like-minded, like-visioned, is a challenge because there's a lot of methodologies in church planting that are really kind of flash in the pan, more about getting people to come rather than casting a vision of who the church is and what the gospel is and who Jesus is. You know, you can gather a crowd, but can you keep a crowd? And why is that crowd gathered? You want to make sure you don't do baits and switches. And it's important to plant healthy churches so that they remain healthy churches. So I'm doing a little lampstand business there. And this is a great team. I love their excitement and their commitment. And again, we meet separately. We meet on Wednesday nights throughout the year when we are meeting here on Wednesdays. It makes it a little bit easier because some of them have young kids and they can take advantage of that time. Love to have you be a part of that team as well. Then we have our pro-life subgroup, and we have so many life ministries that we support. But when Roe versus Wade was overturned, that Sunday, the Sunday afterwards, someone said to me, wow, I guess it's mission accomplished. And it just stung me because I thought, no, now the hard work is beginning because we're not just pro-birth. We're pro-life. And then that night, Pastor Reeder actually talked about that. And this germ of an idea formed in my mind. We need to be educated on what it really means to be pro-life from womb to tomb. And so we have so many capable teachers here. And so I gathered a few people together and said, let's talk about this. And we ended up creating this curriculum, literally, that looks at life from the beginning to the end and beyond. And this quarter, we have it going on in two different classes because we have so many people. The bench is so deep, we're able to teach it twice in one quarter now. Has it been in here?
Nope.
It should be.
Yeah, you're in.
Oh, good. Excellent. That works. I am so thankful. And each time we meet, after we finish, we meet together, we adjust, we have a questionnaire. We want to make sure that we're really addressing the issues that are important, not just in terms of the ones that are without question important, but those that are really meeting people's, answering their questions. And so we get a lot of feedback, and that has gone just super well. Very excited about how it continues to grow. The long-term goal is to create a book to go along with it and an online resource that people can use. We're not going to reinvent the wheel. There's so many resources out there. A lot of that will be links to organizations and other things, and certainly those some of the ministries that we support. We'll talk about church revitalization. Now, it's interesting. I am National Ministries and Church Revitalization. So people will say, well, is church revitalization a part of National Ministries, or is National Ministries part of church revitalization? And I don't know the answer to that question. Sometimes I'm tempted to say yes, because they kind of go together. Healthy churches do ministry, and they do missions ministry in particular. And so they're connected. But, you know, it's just an odd thing. You know, I feel kind of slighted because it only says National Missions Pastor. But that's okay. It's originally founded by Pastor Reeder. You remember, of course, the Embers to a Flame ministry, and it's a teaching, mentoring, and a resource ministry, and it was rebranded as Lampstand in 2020. And there's a couple of reasons for that, and I'm not going to go into those just now. What I was going to do was also ask if it might be possible for me to come back at some point, even this summer. Are you scheduled out every summer? Every Sunday?
16.
What's that? Driving back from the beach.
We're going to have to come back early.
All right, Lisa, you want to talk to Tim? We can negotiate because there's so much here to talk about. Lampstand, this is our purpose. We strengthen churches in the health of God's grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ to stay on mission, on message, and in ministry. And I love that statement. We didn't really have that statement until after Harry went to be with the Lord. And, you know, of course, he would hammer on mission, on message, and in ministry. And I thought, well, why reinvent the wheel? That's what we do. And we strengthen churches in the gospel by the means of grace to pursue church health. And I remind churches, one of the things we do is that the means of grace are just that. They're a means of grace. They're not the end. If the means of grace are preaching and prayer and worship, I think you can put fellowship in there as well, because fellowship is an extension of what we do in terms of worship as we sit at Jesus' feet. I'm going to start preaching Lampstand stuff here in just a minute. And the sacraments are so important. You know, if we classically say it's the Word of God, sacraments, and prayer, and in sacraments you have worship as well and fellowship, then they're not an end of themselves in themselves. Reformed churches tend to exalt preaching so much, and I'm going to be careful when I say this because I don't want people to hear again what I'm not saying. They tend to exalt preaching so much that they will make that the end. And they'll be highly critical of preachers and sermons and content. Is it expositional? You know, is it proclaiming Christ? Excellent questions, important questions. But preaching, teaching the Word of God is a means of grace so that we may know Christ and know him better. When we're attending to preaching, we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so it's a means of our being able to become more like him, becoming a disciple. Jesus said in Luke 6, every student, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Jesus is our teacher. And so the means of grace are a means. And so we try to remind people that these are the things that make us healthy. They're not an end of themselves. You know, we all know that the gym is not an end in itself. So we want to be physically healthy. It's like, you know, it's not the working out that's the point. It's the result, right? It's the fruit. And so the fruit and result of the means of grace is that we know Jesus better and that we know Jesus well enough to call him Lord with affection, assurance, confidence. And that's so important. One of the other things we talk about in Lampstand that's so important for churches, particularly churches that are struggling at different areas, is that the church is the repository of God's glory. In Ephesians 3, and Paul gives a benediction there. It's a doxological benediction is what it is. And he says, you know, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory. What's the first thing he says? In the church. Like, why? And in Christ Jesus. Why didn't he say Jesus first? Well, we believe in plenary inspiration, word for word inspiration. The vision there is, and Ephesians just reeks of this, and it drips this reality in terms of the church, especially when you get into chapter 4. And Dr. Pratt spoke about that so powerfully last week. God has rested his glory in the church. He has designed the church to be the repository of his glory. If we right now, in terms of redemptive history, are the dwelling place of God. If you didn't go to the first service, you'll hear a lot about Zion in the sermon. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And we have that trajectory of God in revealing himself as God with us. In the church age, the glory of God is resident in his church. And if a church can get a vision of understanding who they are as the repository of God's glory, then a lot of the pettiness that comes about that make churches quibble about things that are really not important in the scheme of things, they just disappear. We think about the church as the place where God's glory resides. Think about the church as that place that the prophets long to understand in terms of Messiah coming and what would happen afterwards, a foretaste of heaven itself, then how can a church not be excited about pursuing health that makes them know Jesus better, makes them understand who they are as the people of God? So that's one of the most important things we talk about in Lampstand. Of course, Lampstand is a conference where I would host the annual Birmingham Lampstand Conference each January, partners with like-minded churches from multiple denominations for regional conferences as scheduled. We were in Columbia, South Carolina in April at First Pres, and Dr. Neil Stewart, who is, of course, a great friend of Briarwood, we got him into the Lampstand team now. Now he's a part of it. He did a couple of sessions for us there. Bruce Stallings, who has done many sessions, I got him looped back in. Now he's back on the team, and that's exciting. We are scheduled to do 3 conferences next year, 2 stateside, Birmingham Conference in 27 and then Philadelphia in September. I'll talk a little bit more about the other one in a moment. There are 3 focused ministry tracks in the Lampstand. Church planting. The best way to have a healthy church is to plant a healthy church. And so we talk about what makes a healthy church planter, what makes a healthy church plant, and what's a healthy church planting process. And Dr. Tom Hawks leads that track. He also teaches our spiritual formation and Christian character sessions, which are at the beginning of the Lampstand Conference. The way Lampstand is laid out in terms of the conference is a very intense conference. Pastor Reeder used to do about 90% of the sessions, so now it takes 6 of us to do what he did, just like that. We stayed focused on the main strategies, but we've done a little shifting around, and so we focused up front and talking about what church health is and then on spiritual formation. Healthy churches need healthy leaders, spiritually healthy leaders. So we talk about what it really means to sit at the feet of Jesus individually, personally, as one who's called to follow Jesus. And then, of course, one who's called to shepherd the flock. That is why it's not just pastors, but it's elders. And we've begun to invite just key church leaders to come. As many as people of a church as can will come to Lampstand, it will be more beneficial to them as they go back to their churches. If you have one pastor with maybe one elder who shows up and he gets excited, and then he's got to go back and kind of share that excitement with the rest of his leadership. You know how it is. You go to a conference, you go back, and it's like you want to say, well, you had to be there. Well, be there. Come on. You know, bring more people. We had one church send 14 key leaders. And that's what we're looking for. Different staff members came, the whole pastoral staff, and it was very exciting. And we have breakout sessions where they'll sit down and they'll go through and begin to think about some of the strategies so that they leave with a plan, at least an initial plan that we will follow up with them on post-conference. So we focus in on spiritual formation and Christian character on that very first day. And in one of the evaluations, what somebody wrote, you know, we came to Lampstand expecting to get our toolbox filled with practical knowledge on church health, but we got our hearts filled. And another person said, it just took me off guard. I came ready with my pencil behind my ear, and all of a sudden you started talking about my relationship with Jesus. And it's not that it wasn't important to me. It's like I just thought, okay, well, yeah, I love Jesus. Now, what do we do to make church healthy? You love Jesus. That's what you do. And so that's what we focus on. And we talk about repentance, personal repentance. And then we move from there to the importance of corporate repentance, which introduces the paradigm. Remember, repent, recover, from Revelation chapter 2. And that's what I would love to get into at a subsequent time, but not on the 16th. I would love to. But I'd love to go to the beach too. Lampstand also offers a spiritual foundation weekend. Oh, I didn't talk about the other two tracks. The classic church revitalization track. And I will say this. A lot of times people will think church revitalization is just churches that they're about to die, you know, and they're just languishing. And it's like, you know, what's our last ditch effort? We'll go to Lampstand. When I first went to Embers back in 2011, I was so excited. But we were a healthy church that needed a shot in the arm. We just needed a recast of vision. And the Lord was blessing. And so we brought some leadership up. And I was telling somebody, hey, we're going to an Embers conference in Birmingham. And it was like I had said, we're in hospice. Because they said, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, Lampstand is not hospice for churches. What it is strengthening churches in the health of God's grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ to stay on mission, on message, and in ministry. And that's exactly what it was for us. So church revitalization focuses in on any church that needs perhaps to kind of get back to basics, wants to refocus. And maybe they've lost their mojo and they've been distracted by the shiny objects, which they've been convinced will bring people in. Maybe they've gotten soft on a few things. Maybe preaching has taken a back seat to something else. And we help them get back to the basics, the big rocks, as Harry used to say, of what it means to have gospel ministry. Church acceleration, and that one focuses on healthy churches experiencing growth and its associated transitions. As a church grows, its structures have to change. How do they change in a way that keeps it focused on shepherding, on the gospel, and on ministry, and not becoming too corporate? How do you do that? How do you keep community among a growing church? How does a church keep its personal heart? So we talk about that. Sandy Wilson has been the one leading that track, and he's done so well. And we're so grateful for the way he has continued to help with us. This coming January will be the last time he's doing that track for us. That's become the track that has the biggest attendance now. Those churches that are basically, which is encouraging, these churches are growing and they want to know how do they stay on mission, message, and in ministry, and stay focused on the means of grace. Lampstand also offers a spiritual foundation weekend to Lampstand alumni churches. After the conference, we will come to a church and do a distillation of Lampstand. It is focused on helping a congregation understand their part in being a healthy church. When we go to churches that are looking for a pastor, and I'll say to them, well, the great thing about this opportunity is there's no greater gift that you could give your pastor to be than the gift of knowing what it means to be a healthy church, and that you will make his transition easy or easier and a delight, so that when he's praying, as it says in Hebrews 13, he won't be giving a bad report to the Lord. He'll be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for bringing me here to this church. And so I meet on Friday nights with the leadership so that we can go over 20 questions that they were sent about 2 months before that really just caused them to reflect on their own walk with the Lord, with their own sense of calling as shepherds, where the deacons are included as well. And then we pray. And then on Saturday, we'll go through 4 sessions, unless they choose to do the 4 session during Sunday school on Sunday, and then I'll preach. I did one a couple of weeks ago in Monroeville, and it was exciting. The church is small, but they had over 25 people come out for that, and they were excited and wanted to learn. In September, I'm going to Sacramento, outside Sacramento, for one of our alumni churches there. Church of about 400 that are really excited about what Lampstand offers them. So that would be a good time to be a part of the Lampstand team. You want to go to Yosemite? No, there won't be any time for that. But we do those as well. Lampstand also has an internet. Oh, did I miss something? Yes, the pastoral cohorts. These consist of 4 to 6 pastors, and they encourage, challenge, and equip Lampstand alumni pastors to pursue growth in gospel character, pastoral competencies. We essentially do these cohorts very quickly after the conference, and they're essentially a collaborative coaching arrangement to basically say, okay, don't go home and put that notebook on the shelf. Let's talk about what you're going to, if they have put together a plan, initial plan as they leave Lampstand, we'll talk through that, and maybe they'll tweak it. Most of the time they do, as they put their teams together back in their congregations. And these are just tremendous times to get to know the heart of men who have been called into ministry. They begin to teach and one another. Iron sharpens iron. They encourage one another. And sometimes I just sit back and watch what the Lord does. And it's so encouraging. We have begun the creation of a ruling elder cohort. And some in here have helped us with that. And it's, I'd say, about 80% ready. We would like to be able to do that after the January conference. It's a cohort led by ruling elders that have pastoral shepherding experience, and it will be the cohort members will be ruling elders. So it's a ruling elder leading ruling elders. Someone who understands because they have been or are in the same life situation that men called to be ruling elders are. So it really is apples to apples. And I'm excited. We had about 7 people. John was a part of that group to help kind of craft this. And I remember sitting, looking at all the guys that were around me. And I thought if any of the churches that come to Lampstand had just one of these guys on their session, they would be blessed. And here we are surrounded by and this is just a smattering of the wealth of shepherding heart that we have at Briarwood. And so we want to tap into that and share that with other churches. And that's really one of the things about Lampstand that's so important for us to recognize. Briarwood has a gravitas in the PCA and in the evangelical world in general. People look to us. Well, what does Briarwood think about this? Well, we want to say, what does the Bible say about this? But that's what we'll do. We'll deflect. We'll say, well, here's what the Bible says. And so we take the advantage of that responsibility that we have as an accountability, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And Lampstand is one of the ways that we can do that as a church, to help our sister churches. And now there are several presbyteries that are asking, how can we make our presbyteries more mindful of what it means for us to focus on the health of our churches? You would think that's what we think about as presbyteries already, right? But it didn't always work that way. And I'm very excited that there are several presbyteries that have contacted us to find out how they might do that. Lastly, we have an international presence. We're partnering in May last year with City Discipleship Presbyterian Church in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. We had about 70 leaders from Malaysia, Indonesia, India, Sri Lanka, Japan. That was amazing. It was such a great time and very encouraging. In May next year, we're going to be in Oxford, England, at Oxford Presbyterian Church. It's the church of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church of England and Wales, EPQ. I just love to say that, EPQ. And they're going to host that, and there'll be several prominent UK teachers who will be teaching on the teaching team, because the last thing we want to do is bring our USA guys over to England and say, okay, now we're going to tell you how to do ministry. The Lord is doing amazing things in the Evangelical Church and in England in general. In that cultural situation that's not getting reported on. So now is a great time for us to encourage, and I'm excited that we're going to be able right there on the campus of Oxford. And Oxford, Westminster, UK is in the building next door. And they started a church planning institute that we're going to partner with in our church planning track. So we're very excited about that. The Lampstand teaching team, these are all men who currently are part of that team. They don't all teach. This depends on the region. Wherever we go, whoever's available, and according to their calendar. The core team is John Curry, Tom Hawks, and myself, and has been Sandy Wilson. These men have become very good friends. I just cherish the time that we have together. When I see them, it feels like we just pick up where we left off. We talk regularly throughout the year about how we can improve what we're doing, make sure we're really doing what church revitalization and Lampstand is focused on. Roped in Dan Doriani when he was here, and he enjoyed it so much, he asked if we could come and do one in St. Louis. And I said, well, it's possible. You think we could get some credit from Covenant Seminary for some of the people, the students who come? And he said, I'll work on that. And then I saw Tom Gibbs, the president, and I said, hey, I've got a proposition for you. And Dan had already mentioned it to him. So that is in process. I hope we can get something going soon. Dr. Red is excited about doing his first sessions with us this January. Very grateful for to have him in. As a seminary educator, someone who equips pastors and church planters, and he sees how valuable Lampstand is in this space. And so I'm excited for his input. Already he's given some great input on what we are going to do. This is really the purpose of the church revitalization ministry team. It used to be the church revitalization team, but we didn't want to be known as CRT. And so I added ministries in there. So there's nothing critical about, I mean, I think it's critical, but it's not critical race theory. So we meet quarterly, and a lot of the bulk of the work is done in terms of evaluating after the conference and reaching out and getting in touch with churches post-conference, but also getting ready for the conferences. And there's a lot of heavy lifting during the conference. One of the things that I really appreciate about the team is the way that they work hard together and give up 2.5 days of conference time. But before that, a lot of other blood, sweat, and tears as well, and pulling in other people. This is the team currently, and we would love to have more people join us. For both the National Ministries and Church Revitalization, Christy Bono, some of you know her. She's been at Briarwood most all of her life, and she is a capable administrator and a great first impression for Lampstand and for National Ministries. If you have any questions about anything, Christy can get you to where you need to go to know. Or you can contact me, of course, if you'd like to. How do I end? All right, let's go back to the schedule. We meet tomorrow night at 5:30. The National Ministries team. We meet in 202 over across from the seminary, and we don't have dinner, but we do have some snacks and things like that. Just a great opportunity to meet some folks and see their heart for what we do in National Ministries. The church revitalization team, of course, meets quarterly. And if you're interested in being a part of that, there's a lot of conceptual oversight and other things that go in on that team. But we'd love to have you come and just check us out. The opportunity to meet with our ministry partners, either by Zoom or even whenever you may travel. One of the blessings is that our team, when they know they're traveling where one of our ministry partners may be here in the States, they'll try to contact them ahead of time and just maybe have coffee with them or just run by and say hello. We believe in partnerships. Bart, I should have you stand up here and talk about this. Clark's a good example of that kind of commitment, just personal connection. We'd be easy just to throw a lot of money to ministry, but we want partnerships, people that we know that we're supporting and developing relationships with who extend our discipleship opportunities, going where we can't go and going on our behalf. And it's a great, exciting thing to be a part of, and we'd love to have you be a part of that as well. All right, any questions?
Has the weekend for the conference been decided?
It's January 21st through the 23rd. It's always the fourth week. Is that the fourth weekend? That's third weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those. It's always the weekend after Martin Luther King. That's what we decided. It was easier to do it that way. We'd love to have, and this is my invitation to come and be a part of Lampstand. There's a special rate for Briarwood members. It'd be a great thing for all of us to have a real understanding, a deeper understanding, a reminder of what it means to be a healthy church and what our parts are to be a healthy church, all of us individually. So we'd love to have you come and be a part of that. Our officers do serve whenever they are available on the Saturday of the conference as prayer partners. They meet with the attendees and pray with them, have breakfast with them. And a lot of time, the relationships extend for a long time. My prayer partner, when I came in 2011, was Jim Entrekin, and he kept up with me through the years. And then somewhere along the way, the wheel came off the wagon, for one of us. And then when I was up here for something, I can't remember what it was, not too long before I came up here, I looked at him and we both apologized. I'm so sorry. I didn't keep up with you. But the long-term relationships developed because of that through the years. So it's a great opportunity as well. Any other questions? I know that was an awful lot to cover. In addition to this, I do have a community that I shepherd. Growing Together is my community. I do other things that Brian tells me to do. That's under that section, and other things required by your upline, by your boss. Other duties as required. And pray for me. I'm preaching next Sunday. And so I get to do that every now and then, too, which is I'm really grateful for. Thank you for all that you do in the life of this church. I know just looking at how involved so many of you are, but particularly because you're a class that's known for praying and lifting one another up. Thank you for what you do. So let me pray. Lord, thank you that you love your church more than we do. But we want to love your church like you do. So we want to sit at your feet. We want to become more like you in our love for one another and for our compassion and our urgency to reach out to the waiting elect. Those are our brothers and sisters out there just looking for a home, and they have one, and it's ours to go and to fetch them, as it were, through the power of the gospel, to let them know that they have been loved with an everlasting love. And we just thank you for the opportunity that we have through the National Ministries and also through this ministry and all the ministries of Briarwood. What an amazing place for us to be. And we're so grateful for the way that you led Frank Barker so many years ago with this desire. And then you blessed that ministry. You've given us faithful pastors. We thank you for Harry. And now for Dr. Red, and we're so grateful for who he is and how he has loved us well and for what's ahead of us. Lord, will you build your church? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.